Don't you understand? I need my podcaster's bed. I need to lie here away from the years of iTunes rule so that my creative consciousness can develop, so that the episode can flow through the ether, so the words can grow in my mouth, so the podcast can metastasize into a zombie takeout worthy to be heard by the High Bodo. I'll be out when it's finished. And welcome to episode 469 of Zombie Takeout. I was holding for a nice there.
I was a little bit nice.
You know, I was going to try to say Zombie Takeout along with you. Then you held it, and I was kind of like, but wait, what are we doing?
I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And joining us this week, because she suggested this week's movie, is Jen.
Hello. Yes. I apologize in advance.
Accepted.
Yeah. And before we get to that movie, we have some listeners submitted a voicemail from Bodo in reference to last week's episode, our review of Star Trek First Contact.
All right. I'm doing this in the middle of listening to your latest. As far as Patrick Stewart goes and in the future, the other stuff that he's done, Commander Bullock, American Dad. I mean, that's where he really shines. As far as the Borg, I'm surprised they never did a McEnroe Borg versus Borg joke. You know, because back, if you know anything about tennis, they were a big rival back in the day. You know, something like a McEnroe effect. If you don't know it, might want to look it up. If you don't care, I don't blame you. Anyway, love the show. Keep up the great work. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, Bodo.
As I've mentioned before, I read the voicemails while you're listening to them. I got a few sentences past the McEnroe Borg reference before either of you clicked on it. Maybe my 80s memory is better, but yeah, I got that immediately, Bjorn Borg. Oh, he also recommended some stuff for the TV show, specifically two DC titles on HBO Max, Doom Patrol and The Peacemaker.
Oh, Peacemaker. Oh, my God, yes.
I need to see The Peacemaker because I fucking loved The Suicide Squad, the gun version, the latest.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few episodes of Doom Patrol. I kind of liked it. So, yeah, we will get to both. We are reviewing The Suicide Squad probably in April, so it might be a good pairing with that. When we get there, as part of the DC two-parter.
Oh, yeah, right. Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm. And I actually think Shang-Chi will pair with the Linda Lindas, which is interesting because half of the Linda Lindas are Chinese. Huh. So that's kind of coincidental. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 2020, Die by the Sword. And of course, the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Historical Reenacting. Just point a camera at it, and you've got yourself a movie, I guess.
Also brought to you by Hadrian's Wall, keeping Picts out of bad movies since 122 AD.
And also brought to you by Belly Dancing Lessons at the Community College. Your weird aunt's gonna love it.
It's enough to hypnotize a king out of his kingdom? All right. So, we have the ancient Scottish village that appears out of the mist. Man. All right. So, we have ancient, before it is the United Kingdom. And the Romans have just left. And, of course, there's chaos everywhere they have left because, well, without the big enforcers, there's no one there to keep order. And this tribe has a problem because of the Picts had been staying out of their land for the whole time the Romans were there, but now they're coming in and they're raiding a little here and there. So they need to come up with a solution, and that solution is to get another tribe. The first tribe, of course, were Britons, and these they get the help, I believe, of, was it the Saxon or the Angle?
Yeah, the Saxon.
Yeah. So they get their help and they team up and they drive the Picts out. And, well, that's the end of the movie. No. Instead, they, of course, it's like the why did she swallow the fly story. Because,
yeah,
you know, they get the, you know, the bigger animal to get rid of the smaller animal. And now they're stuck with the bigger animal there. And how do they get rid of the bigger animal? The answer is they marry one of the animals. And, just
that analogy took a weird turn.
Now there's your movie, you know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, not off base for the movie, but yeah.
So, there's of course a division with the Britons. Some are, you know, swear an oath to their new Saxon queen, and some go off with the old queen, or the ex queen. And
they used to call him Vortigern the bridge builder.
And,
the animal marriage thing, I guess.
Well, you know, at least animal husbandry, I don't know. it causes pretty much a civil war amongst them, and these druids kind of come out of nowhere and accept these wayward Britons in that are in exile, and then they, of course, mount. I guess some time passes.
Yeah. And two kids grow up, and apparently they're becoming druids or something.
The two kids grow up. Nobody else grows up. No. Like years pass, and then so I'm like, wait, what? Meanwhile, they mount this rebellion, and they go to war with the Saxon and their king, and I'm not really sure what the hell ensues, honestly, at the end here.
George,
was that all it took to stop this movie? Yeah. Or somebody just yell stop the battle?
Yeah, a Valkyrie showed up and they were done.
I've done that an hour into this.
Yeah. George R. R. Martin, I think it was, once said there are two kinds of writers, planners and pantsers. Planners, you know, you have an outline, you know exactly what's going to happen. Pantsers, you kind of make it up as you go. And that's, you know, for novels. I've never seen anybody pants a movie. And then just not edit it.
That is the elephant in the room of Eddie, is just this script trying to cobble a story together out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys got that much out of it. I'm just like, you're trying to tell me to explain the plot and be like, I don't know.
And I actually did some historical research for this one because, you know, I used before ancestry.com. Actually, it was 23andMe. They have this genetic testing. Before then, I thought I was mostly Irish. I'm actually mostly British. But I was very into the Celts at one point, and the old story was they went into battle naked, painted blue, to scare the enemy, and the term barbarian was, you know, coined for them. Found out that the Picts were actually a subset of the Celts. They were a group of Celts, so it is fairly accurate in that sense.
Right,
and there was a King Vortigern.
All right.
Although the name does sound like something from a Douglas Adams novel. Gotta love the accents in this one. Like,
it makes your head spin. Like, I think within the first 2 minutes, you hear theater British,
mm-hmm.
you hear Scottish, you hear Southern.
Yeah.
You hear, you know, and then the British accents vary, you know, from the Costner scale to right. Carrie Fisher to, I guess, you know, a pretty good one in the end, you know, for some people.
There were some kind of Scandinavian-ish accents for the Saxons.
Right. It really takes you out of it, kind of, because you're just like, I mean, it's different if, you know, each tribe has their own accent and they stick with it.
Right.
But there's just so many different degrees of accents.
And there was
accents that it made it sound like they dubbed it over in the studio.
Well, there's a lot of that, yeah. And I don't blame them. I won't hold that against them because it's better to get the line that we can hear it. That he'll move like this, you know? So yeah, I'm not going to hold that against them.
Because there was no, you know, studio here. There was no, you know, backlot. No. This was all filmed in the middle of the woods.
Right.
Yeah, it just looked like, you know, I mean, I don't know about other restaurants, but I've been to the Maryland Renaissance Festival. Mm-hmm. And I could have been going there. That was...
Before Scott's brilliant title suggestion, my favorite of my titles was Bravelarp.
Bravelarp.
Because this really is just a LARP that somebody filmed. It really comes off that way.
Totally. Yeah, definitely.
No, when I saw it the first time, you know, and I was a little... But, you know, it's just... Thinking, you know, I'm like, man, these people are having the time of their lives filming this, man. You know, they are just, they're, you know.
And I agree with that. And that's the only reason I kind of got through it is because they were having a fucking blast making the movie.
You really should have advised us to have been under the influence of something to have watched this.
Yeah.
I think it would have helped the rating. Yeah, I think it would have helped a lot in the end.
Now, there was some good gore early on when the mother was killed, but it was like they blew the whole budget at that point.
That's right. That is probably what happened.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's our blood budget. It's done.
And, I mean, at least the Picts had a common accent that they kind of agreed on. They were Irish, I think.
Scottish, Irish.
Yeah.
It kind of, they were,
It's a fine line.
There was nobody that no tribe had like a standard accent. Well, there was just, it was all over the place.
But they were kind of in the same neighborhood, you know, as opposed to the Britons who were British and Southern and whatever else the random person happened to have. I did appreciate that Moira's blood magic ritual didn't show anything supernatural happening. I was hoping that this wouldn't be a fantasy thing because, you know, it's just nice to see this era when it's not fantasy. But of course, we have to get into the magic with the Saxons.
Yeah, we did get some magic there.
Yeah.
What I wonder what they used. You know, I didn't see what locations they used to film this, actually, because like whatever they used for Gaul looked pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Oh, the beach thing?
That
looks cool. That's, you know, that's a cool location.
I Googled one of the actresses, Dove, the king's daughter, just to see, because I kind of liked her performance-wise, see if she had done anything else. She's based in South Carolina, so I'm guessing maybe it was shot in that area.
You know, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. They went out to one of those islands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, there's this narrative folk song early in the movie that is a very interesting approach. Presumably, it's the bard. It would have been nice if they carried that through, but it's just that one time.
Which, the bard was a very strange...
I liked the bard.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm basically a bard in real life. I'm a poet, musician, you know. So I'm inclined to like bards. But I just kind of liked how cynical and salty he was.
I did appreciate that his character actually had a point, you know. Yeah. But more on that later.
I did like a lot of the music. It was very dramatic. The composer was clearly like punching above their weight.
Yeah.
Like really trying to go for something big, and I appreciated it.
I think they went a little too big on the scene of the dance, because it was like, you really thought something was going to go down there, and it was just like, okay, off you go, kind of thing. It was like, wait, what? That's it?
I have some issues with that scene. I'll get to it in a bit.
Jesus Christ, of course.
Now, we get that first confrontation with the Picts.
Yeah.
And the choreography is very slow.
Oh, yeah.
It makes the Obi-Wan Darth Vader, you know, lightsaber battle look intense.
I kept thinking of the Holy Grail, that scene where he's got, like, he sticks the sword out to, like, you know, intercept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Face down, kind of. It was really close to that.
And yeah, the acting is bad, but I kind of love how much they committed.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying real hard.
I think a solution to their problem, though, would have been to have limited the number of characters in this film.
Yeah, yeah.
It is holy shit.
A little all over the first
half hour. And it felt like it was a never-ending Sergeant Pepper album cover. Yeah. Now, who the fuck is this?
Right.
Okay, now who is this? And there were characters that just went nowhere. I mean, I kind of thinking he was thinking sequel while he was making this. And it's like, just focus on this.
I think it was more just it was a party, you know. It was like it was the whole thing got together, and it's like, well, I would be in it too. What can I be?
That's exactly the vibe I got. That's why I said LARP. It was like a bunch of LARPers decided to just film it and try to turn it into a movie. That second battle scene, the larger one, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
because it was just absolute chaos. I loved the witch twirling the flaming swords.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
This battle has an entertainment section.
It's a cheering.
Somebody selling like popcorn or toys alongside. I can't watch your battle without your popcorn.
I'm kind of not sure how I feel about them pointing out the two brown people in the movie and like making a point of saying like they're not from around here.
There are a lot of people that there's a lot of people, a lot of white people that have problems when they see minorities in period pieces, and it's not explained.
Look, just go with it.
So, the king's daughter is played by a black woman, and they make a point of saying, like, yeah, she was adopted. And then there's this merchant who is, very Asian, and they make a point of saying, like, yeah, you're from, make a point of pointing out that he's from Asia.
He's not from around these parts.
That area of the world. Now we get the bard singing right before that belly dancing scene. And clearly this actor is not a triple threat because his melodic sense was a little iffy.
I'm not even sure if he's a double or single threat, honestly.
I'll give him single. I liked his acting.
Okay, all right.
I enjoyed the character. I bought his performance. I'll give him single threat. But yeah, definitely not a double or probably not a triple. The belly dancing scene, the music at first was good because it was just a drum.
Yeah.
And it kind of came off as diegetic. It was you bought that it was just the bard with a drum. It was a dumbek, I think, which is a Middle Eastern drum, kind of weird in Britain at that time. But still, just one drum. You bought that it was the bard off camera just playing this drum.
Yeah. And then they put in like a clap track,
And then they had to bring in this, external score that was very atonal. And almost seemed like a comment on the quality of the scene. Like, it just went on way too long. And it was like, the movie almost seemed to be mocking itself at that point.
Yeah.
That one scene lasted like 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
And I was, really, I was just expecting thanks, and then that was going to be it. And instead of I've got to get with that, I'll go with her. Like, wait, what?
He's like, wow.
Now, in addition to the bard, I also liked the monk. He had some great reactions.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure the entire point of the monk is necessary.
Well, no, but also his argument for monotheism was just that it was easier.
It's not wrong.
There are a couple of very interesting, probably my favorite parts of the movie outside of the bard scenes were the druid and the monk discussing religion. They were very interesting scenes. But yeah, his argument for monotheism is just easier. Now, I came into this thinking the central conflict would be the Britons and the Picts. They sold it that way.
Yeah.
And then midway through, the Picts just kind of fucked off.
Right. Why would the Picts have not taken advantage of this, and taken a side and tried to, get their way in?
Yeah. Well, they had to go back to work. And so,
Right. And then the central conflict.
Let's have fun with this movie thing.
Then it just becomes about these interloping Saxons.
And they blew their budget on the blue body paint, I think, in the beginning.
Right. Also, I learned a word from this movie. Phineas says, I mislike it as well. I had to Google it because dislike seems to be the obvious choice. Mislike is actually a word. It also means dislike, but it's just an odd choice to write into the script.
Well, no, I mean, I, you know.
And I thought the Saxons were a bit too arch, a bit too pointlessly evil. And I like Arch.
You know,
how much do we go on about Jeffrey Combs on this show?
Right.
But, you know, they just weren't good at it, I guess.
I couldn't believe there was still like half an hour left at this point. Because, yeah, we're past, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, my God, what else could we do in this?
They went for an hour and a half, like proper feature length. Maybe they should have shot for like an hour 10.
Well, here's the thing. There's 20 minutes of this film that could easily be cut that has like nothing to do with the plot whatsoever.
Right.
And then there's like another 20 minutes that's missing from the plot that they never filmed.
Yeah.
Characters that, do you know what happened to? They were main characters, but we have no fucking clue what happened to them in the end of this movie.
Honestly, the only characters I remember, the Saxons, or two of the Saxons, you know, the witch and her brother.
Yeah.
The king, his daughter, the bard, the druid. That's about it. That's all who I remember, really.
Now, any scene with the kids and their parents, all of that could be cut out.
Yes.
There was no point to any of that. Like, the fact that they were just killed so easily, they really had nothing to do with the plot. And it could have just been the prince going out to meet the druids,
right,
and all of those scenes could have been with him instead of the kids.
Yeah, when I say editing, no editing, I don't mean the movie wasn't edited. The movie was rather heavily edited.
Yes.
I mean the script wasn't edited.
Right. Right.
Word all over the place.
To me, this one is right on the edge of enjoyably bad and just bad.
Yes, yeah. I agree entirely.
I can't tell which way to go with it.
You know, if you smoke a little, then I'll go one.
Yeah, I'm sure it leans, you know, toward enjoyable. I did like that they mentioned woad, which is what the blue paint came from. It was a plant, and apparently it had some healing power, or was believed to have healing abilities, which is why they painted themselves. It wasn't just an intimidation thing. But we just jump forward a decade. Yeah. To get the backstory for the Guinevere's,
right?
Who were these witches? Did we need to know that?
No.
Yeah. Although I perked up at that point because I was like, you know, like Guinevere is like the origin for Jennifer, and I'm like, hey, it's me.
I think of course King Arthur, which I think is what they were going for.
But we didn't need a time jump for it.
No, and it was an interesting story, much more interesting than anything else in the movie, frankly. But it just seemed kind of out of nowhere. I did like seeing the resistance grow against, you know, Rowena and her brothers. Now, as much as I do complain a lot about romantic subplots, I have to admit I was kind of shipping Dove and Talos in the Bard. The two just had great chemistry and fought well, and I could have was kind of hoping that would turn into something.
And alas, no, it did not.
No. They also, in the second religious debate, pointed out how a lot of Christian traditions were taken from pagan traditions. I appreciated that.
And
best parts of the movie.
Didn't they even know back then that you know, Christmas wasn't in December still? I mean, we're talking about really early in the game here.
I think the prince changed his mind about fighting back against the Saxons a bit too quickly.
Well, isn't 10 years go by?
Well, no, in that scene, they're talking to him and he's resisting and resisting and suddenly, okay, I'll do it.
You twisted my arm. I'll go kill my father.
Yeah.
Fine.
Also, the music, when they finally fight the Saxons, it actually went like rock. Which was completely out of place, but I kind of loved it.
We're gonna fuck this up.
Like, you hear distorted electric guitars. The rest of the score kind of, I mean, it fit the era. It was, you know, what you would expect from a movie like this.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then we suddenly get distorted electric guitars in this, you know, historical movie. Love that. Although the weapons in that fight were probably the cheesiest we saw in the entire movie. That the battle axe was clearly wooden.
Oh, yeah. Now I could see there's like, you know, craft paints on the...
Yeah. You could see like bubbles in the foil around the swords.
There were parts where I thought the camera was in slow-mo, and then I realized, no, they're really just moving that slowly.
It was choreographed.
He's just, you know, inching along with it. It was kind of like,
I can get down here.
All right. It's not a John Woo thing. It's just they're moving. We're seeing two turtles fight each other.
Although I think the Valkyrie was a nice touch. I wasn't quite sure what that was at first.
Right. I had to rewind. Rewatch the last couple minutes because I was like, what the fuck just happened?
I had to look it up because I didn't know the Saxons were where Valhalla came from. That whole thing, they were Saxons.
Hmm. Well, Saxons, everybody
believed in Valhalla and the Valkyries and all that.
Germanic tribe. Everybody was just wandering over and conquering England over and over again, you know?
But then it just suddenly ended.
Right. So, like, what happened to the king? I thought I had dozed off or something, or just wasn't paying attention closely enough. So I had to like rewind to see what happened to the king. He's kind of just, you know, wandering off the battlefield the last time they show him.
Right.
So we know the younger Saxon's dead.
Yeah.
The sorceress queen is sad.
Yeah.
The old Saxon's mad. The two kids are still living with the druids.
Yeah. One of the Saxons was killed. That's the end of the movie.
Yeah. And then he yells for the other Saxons to kill the prince, who we don't even see flee. We're not even sure what happened to him, and we don't know if they catch him or anything, because it just... And whatever happened to the ex-queen?
I think maybe that was going to be the sequel.
Well, he's definitely... I mean, they're planning a sequel within this, because, you know, the kids are going to be a part of that and stuff.
Right.
But you save that for... the sequel when it comes, you know, you have to explain this story as it is.
But I think he was going to pick up right at that point. I'm just guessing, pick up at that point in the next movie, maybe.
Yeah.
Cause that's the only thing that makes sense. The only thing that makes sense other than that is they ran out of film.
Right.
You know, I kind of missed the end because I was just still laughing from when they were running through the forest, and like one person just ran right into a tree.
Right.
I was just laughing for 5 minutes.
I'm glad I'm not the only one, because it was just like, wait, that can't be it. When the screen went black, I was like, well, this can't be it, right?
I did too. I had to run it back. Okay, so one of the Saxons is killed. He sees a vision of a Valkyrie.
Yes.
Go to credits.
The sorceress queen yells, "Stop the battle!"
Oh yeah,
and that's how the movie stops and the battle stops.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna try that the next time I'm in a movie theater and there's a bad movie going on. I'm just gonna yell, "Stop the battle!" And I'm like, oh fuck, it's still going.
And I think that also covers sequels and remakes.
Yes, it does.
On to brains.
On to brains.
Like I said, I couldn't decide if it was enjoyably bad or just bad. I did overall kind of enjoy it, so I'm going 3.
I think I would have enjoyed this a lot more if I had followed Jen's path and had
of course.
Smoked something, eaten something, drank something. There's just too much to follow here, and the acting really doesn't keep your interest, so I'm going 2.
All right.
I mean, you know what? I'll go 2.5.
Okay.
Or why not? I don't know.
That's a fair rating, I think.
Yeah. Right down the middle. And what have we learned?
We learned that I really should have worn some blue body paint wearing before watching this movie, because it really takes the edge off. Mm-hmm. Man.
That was his other sponsor. Jen?
I think I learned that the Renaissance Festival, you know, it's not a good place to film a movie.
No. And I learned that when you learn yourself, you learn your power, and that becomes your magic. Write your own jokes for that one.
Well, going deep there.
And Jen, thank you. Anything to plug?
I don't know. Just my website, I guess, jenpm.com.
But, all right. Yeah. And that's it for Die by the Sword.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Until 2 weeks from now, next week, we're off next week because the week from this coming Friday, Friday of next week, the 25th, is my 50th birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy shit.
But a week after that, we'll be back with The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot. This is our Douglas Trumbull tribute and just a movie we've had on the list for a while now because it's just absolutely in our wheelhouse. It has that title and it stars Sam Elliott. It can't not be amazing.
Right.
Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.